Astori Publishing presents The Physics of Profit, Prologue. Just before sunrise on an April morning in 2024, the city blinks awake to the hum of compressors and coffee grinders. In a narrow Brooklyn storefront, Carmen Alvarez resets the chalkboard menu outside her cafe, the same cafe that almost disappeared 2 winters ago. She smiles at the new lease terms scrawled in her accounting notebook, numbers that now make sense in a way they never had before, numbers that bought her another decade of mornings like this. 800 miles west, in the soft half-light that settles over the grain silos of central Kansas, Malik Thompson unlocks the corrugated door of his small fabrication shop. Yesterday's invoices are tucked beneath his arm, dog-eared from study. He used to read them only for the totals. Now he sees timelines hidden in every dollar owed, small clocks ticking toward either opportunity or loss. The difference, he has begun to suspect, is not luck, but a logic someone failed to teach him in school. South of them both, in Austin's tech corridor, where glass towers throw the first reflection of the sun back into the sky, Grace Lee waits for an elevator. Her startup's balance sheet resides on the phone glowing in her palm. Venture capital, treasury yields, beta coefficients, jargon she once dismissed as investor buzz, now feel like the secret grammar of survival. Grace's company is hiring its 20th employee. The salary offer she approves today will echo through fuel budgets, product rollouts, and a dozen other lines no pitch deck ever shows. 3 stories, 1 hour, and the same unspoken question: what precisely is money worth when time begins to move? A single statistic hovers over these entrepreneurs like a storm warning. 73% of small firms that fail in the United States blame some form of cash flow mismanagement. The figure is so large it risks abstraction, yet Carmen can translate it into the empty seats that haunted her cafe at noon, click Malik into the overtime he could not afford last quarter, Grace into the runway countdown she watches shrink with every delayed invoice. The crisis is not merely a shortage of cash, it is a shortage of fluency in the physics of finance. That physics is surprisingly democratic. Whether the setting is a cafe register, a CNC lathe, or a cloud server, each dollar obeys the same rules. A dollar today outmuscles its identical twin tomorrow because today's version can be set to work, earning interest, trimming debt, multiplying inventory. Economists call this the time value of money. Carmen learned it the evening her landlord offered just a small annual rent escalator, and she calculated what that phrase meant 5 years hence. Malik confronts it whenever he wonders if upgrading a press this month is wiser than waiting for next year's discount. Grace feels it in every stock option she grants, each vesting schedule a quiet promise or a ticking liability. Then comes the fork in the road no spreadsheet can avoid. Opportunity cost. Every decision Malik makes in steel or payroll burns the chance to do something else with those same funds, perhaps something better. It is a notion so plain that most owners overlook it until the trade-offs crystallize too late. Risk shadows each alternative, insisting on payment in anxiety or in upside, and the cost of capital stands guard, demanding its cut before any victory can be declared real. Somewhere beyond these early morning scenes, an unassuming professor, Dr. Eleanor Grant, locks her campus office and walks across the quad toward the lecture hall where she has taught corporate finance for 20 years. She is neither Carmen's accountant, nor Malik's banker, nor Grace's investor, yet she will soon intertwine with all three through this book. Grant has watched students recite formulas flawlessly, only to stumble when the same arithmetic turns up in a lease clause or purchase order. At 9 a.m., she will step to the podium and open with a warning she once offered a venture cohort: arithmetic is never neutral. It tilts silently for or against you, but it never forgets to collect. The stakes trace back to evenings like the one Carmen spent staring at her cafe's ledger, wondering which bill to pay first. To Saturdays, Malik has postponed equipment overhauls, hoping the vibration in the press will hold another month. To the spreadsheet Grace updates before dawn, calculating how extra server capacity might cut late-night churn. Multiply their dilemmas across the estimated 33 million small businesses in the country, and a national puzzle emerges. If the rules are knowable and the data abundant, why do so many owners still gamble blind? This book is the map they were never handed. It will not predict the future, but it will teach its language, present value, discount rate, hurdle return, so entrepreneurs can translate possibility into probability and then into action. The lessons are rooted in real dollars, tempered by real mistakes, carried forward by real wins, the kind Carmen, Malik, and Grace will chase long after these pages end. For now, the cafe's door swings open to its first customer. Welders spark in Malik's shop, and Grace's elevator finally arrives. Dawn has turned fully into day, and every decision awaiting them has already begun to age. Somewhere in those unfolding hours lies the choice that will define whether each business staggers or scales. The arithmetic is impartial, but the future it shapes is anything but. And so, the question lingers in the hush before Chapter 1. If a single dollar can grow, shrink, or vanish, depending on when and how it is used, what might an informed mind make of it? End of prologue. Completed. Welcome, listeners, to a guide crafted specifically for the entrepreneurial spirit that drives you each day. I understand the questions that keep you up at night, the uncertainty of whether your cash flow can weather the next storm, the worry that you might be missing out on a critical financial opportunity. I've designed this resource to transform that ambiguity into clarity and confidence. Let me start by sharing some figures that underscore just how vital a firm grasp of financial principles is for every business owner. As recently as 2023, the U.S. Small Business Administration revealed that a staggering 73% of small firms that failed cited cash flow mismanagement as a primary reason. Couple that with the Federal Reserve's 2023 Small Business Credit Survey, which found that 40% of small business loan applicants received none or only some of the financing they sought, and a pattern emerges, one of pervasive financial strain. So, how can we stem this tide? Research from the Harvard Business Review in 2019 links foundational financial training to measurably higher survival odds. Let's illuminate that path forward through the core concepts we'll explore together. The time value of money, opportunity cost, risk-return trade-offs, and cost of capital. To breathe life into these ideas, consider the story of a Brooklyn cafe that nearly shuttered its doors for good after underestimating the impact of lease rate escalators on its bottom line. The owners, however, applied discounted cash flow reasoning to the remainder of their lease, successfully renegotiating both the base rent and the annual bumps. This not only saved their business, but helped it thrive in the aftermath. That's the power of financial literacy in action. Our mission here is simple, yet transformative, to equip you with the financial fluency necessary not just to survive, but to thrive in the face of such challenges. Before we dive into the intricacies of these concepts, let's set the stage. The journey we're about to embark on is designed to unravel complex financial principles and translate them into your business's everyday decisions. First, we'll tackle the time value of money. This cornerstone concept explains why $1 today is worth more than the same dollar tomorrow. We'll explore present value and future value equations in language that resonates with your daily operations, making these indispensable tools for evaluating the long-term implications of today's financial choices. Imagine for a moment that you have a dollar in your hand right now. You could spend it today, or you could put it in your wallet and spend it next year. Is there any difference? In reality, that dollar is worth more today than it will be next year. This fundamental idea forms the bedrock of financial decision-making and is known as the time value of money. Let's unpack this concept in a way that makes it relatable and practical for you, the entrepreneur. The time value of money posits that a dollar in hand today is worth more than a dollar promised in the future. This principle arises from the potential earnings that the dollar could generate over time through investment, a concept known as compounding. Consider the average yield on the one-year U.S. Treasury bill as of 2023, which is about 4.9%. If you were to invest $1 today at that rate, in 1 year, you would have not just $1, but $1.049. This simple example reveals how money's value shifts across time due to its capacity to earn interest. To further illustrate, let's walk through how this compounding principle applies to a $25,000 reserve set aside by a small business for equipment replacement. Assuming the business invests this amount at the 2023 average community bank certificate of deposit rate of 3.2%, after 5 years, the reserve would grow to almost $29,000. This growth clearly demonstrates the power of compounding. But how exactly can we calculate how much future dollars are worth today? This is where the concepts of present value and future value come into play. The future value calculates how much a certain amount of money today will be worth in the future, taking into account a specific interest rate. Conversely, the present value determines what a future sum of money is worth today. The future value formula is FV equals PV 1 plus RN, where FV is future value, PV is present value, R is the interest rate, and N is the number of periods. Conversely, the present value formula is PV equals FV for 1 plus RN. In the context of your business, you might ask, how much should I invest today so that I have X dollars available in Y years? Or conversely, if a customer promises to pay me X dollars in Y years, what's the equivalent immediate cash value of that promise? By using these formulas and substituting appropriate values, you can answer these questions with precision. The process of calculating future and present values involves multiple steps. Write down each intermediate step as we go along to ensure clarity. This understanding will allow you to make more informed decisions regarding investment and financial planning for your business. The concept of the time value of money is not only about numbers and formulas. It's about recognizing that each dollar has potential beyond its face value, depending on how wisely and patiently it's deployed. By mastering this concept, you can unlock new levels of financial fluency and decision-making prowess in your entrepreneurial journey. In every decision you make as an entrepreneur, there lies an inherent trade-off. It's not just about the money you choose to spend, but also the opportunities you choose to forego. This brings us to our next foundational concept, opportunity cost. Key to making sound financial decisions is understanding that every choice involves a sacrifice, the path not chosen. Opportunity cost is the value of that sacrifice, the benefit that could have been gained from the best alternative foregone. Let's explore this concept with a practical example. Imagine you have $50,000 at your disposal. You are considering using this sum to pay down a term loan carrying a 9% interest rate. Alternatively, you could use it to purchase inventory with a projected after-tax return of 14%. If you decide to pay off your loan, you save 9% interest on $50,000, which amounts to $4,500 in the first year. However, if you invest in inventory, you could earn 14% on the same amount, resulting in a $7,000 return. The difference between these potential earnings, $2,500, is the opportunity cost of choosing to pay off your debt instead of investing in inventory. These calculations aren't solely about profit, they're about relative profitability. The key question isn't, will this choice make money, but rather, will this choice make more money than any other choice I could make? That's how you quantify opportunity cost. This principle applies to all sorts of business decisions, whether it's hiring an additional employee, expanding product lines, or deciding where to cut costs. Recognizing these trade-offs is critical to making informed decisions. These questions are particularly relevant in the current business environment. According to a survey by the National Federation of Independent Business in 2022, 42% of small business owners delayed inventory restocking to self-finance marketing campaigns, an everyday trade-off entrepreneurs face. To evaluate such trade-offs objectively, use the same discounting techniques we applied to the time value of money. A choice today not only affects immediate cash flow, but also future wealth. Thus, understanding opportunity cost involves projecting future earnings and discounting them to their present value. The ability to quantify opportunity costs provides an essential tool for rational allocation of resources. It helps you rank competing uses of scarce cash on a strictly economic basis. With practice, this becomes second nature, equipping you to make better, more informed decisions for your business. Now that you grasp opportunity cost, let's delve into risk-return trade-offs. As an entrepreneur, you're no stranger to risk. Every business decision inherently carries some level of uncertainty. The risk-return trade-off is the principle that potential return rises with an increase in risk. Low levels of uncertainty are associated with low potential returns, whereas high levels of uncertainty bring the possibility of higher returns. Consider Ibbotson equity risk premium data, which measures the difference in returns between a benchmark equity index and the risk-free rate, traditionally long-term U.S. Treasury bonds. This premium, approximately 6% as of the latest data, reflects the extra return investors expect for taking on the added risk of stocks. Industry comparisons tell a similar story. Bureau of Labor Statistics data reveal that businesses in volatile sectors such as technology or food service often face higher failure rates, yet also higher potential returns. Imagine you're considering shifting your business model from a stable wholesale operation with a consistent 2% profit margin to a direct-to-consumer model offering a 15% margin but carrying 40% historical volatility. Determining whether the higher margin justifies the heightened risk requires careful analysis of your capacity to absorb losses and your tolerance for uncertainty. The goal is not to eliminate risk, but to understand and manage it. Ask, does the potential return justify the risk, and is this risk within my tolerance level? As Warren Buffett notes, risk comes from not knowing what you're doing. By understanding the risk-return trade-off, you can make calculated decisions and minimize exposure to undue risk. Navigating risk rationally involves understanding the price you pay to tap capital, which brings us to the cost of capital. The cost of capital represents the return that both investors and lenders expect to earn from their investment in your business. It's comprised of two main components, the cost of debt and the cost of equity. The cost of debt is the interest rate you pay on borrowed money. According to the Federal Reserve, in 2023, the average small business bank loan carried a 9.2% interest rate. The cost of equity is the return shareholders expect. Because equity investors take on more risk, they're paid last if the company fails, this cost is often higher than the cost of debt. The long-run compound return on the S&P 500 has averaged roughly 10.3%, offering a benchmark. Suppose a bakery must choose between funding an expansion with retained earnings, equity, or accepting an SBA 7(a) loan at prime plus 2.75% debt. By walking through side-by-side comparisons, you crystallize the concept of a hurdle rate, the minimum return a project must earn to justify investment. If your cost of capital is 10%, any project earning less destroys value. Projects earning more create value. Now that we've explored individual components of the cost of capital, let's combine them into a single yardstick, the weighted average cost of capital, WACC. WACC is calculated by weighting each source of capital by its proportion in the firm's capital structure, adjusting the cost of debt for the tax deductibility of interest. Consider a craft brewery financed 60% by equity, expecting a 12% return, and 40% by debt at a 7% interest rate. The owners are in a 21% tax bracket, lowering the effective cost of debt. The after-tax cost of debt is 7%, 1.21 equals 5.53%. WACC becomes 0.6 times 12 fent plus 0.4 times 5.3%, 9.4%. Any new investment must exceed this rate to create value. Determining the cost of equity can be trickier. The capital asset pricing model, CAM, offers one approach, relating expected return to systematic risk. CAPM combines the risk-free rate, the market premium, and beta, a measure of volatility. If the 10-year Treasury yielded 3.8% in 2023, the market premium is 8.6%, and a SaaS startup has a beta of 1.6, CAPM estimates its cost of equity at 3.8%, plus 0.6, 8.6, 17.56%. Armed with WACC and CAPM, you have a reliable yardstick for measuring the attractiveness of projects and for deciding how to finance growth. Another powerful valuation tool is the perpetuity. A perpetuity is a stream of equal cash flows that lasts indefinitely. The present value of a constant perpetuity equals the annual cash flow divided by the discount rate. For example, a self-storage facility generating $120,000 annually, discounted at 10%, is worth $1.2 million. If cash flows grow 2% annually, the present value rises to $120,000, Y.10 × 0.02 equals $1.5 million. These calculations help you gauge not just immediate value, but long-term potential. Discounting techniques extend beyond perpetuities. To value a single future sum, an annuity, or uneven cash flows, discount each expected amount back to today using an appropriate rate. For instance, a one-time receipt of $50,000 3 years hence, discounted at 10%, is worth $37,593 today. A five-year lease costing $15,000 annually, discounted at 9%, has a present value of about $58,350. Uneven cash flows, say, $15,000, $22,000, and $30,000 over 3 years, discount to roughly $55,400 at the same rate. With these tools in hand, we can evaluate entire projects using internal rate of return and net present value, NPV. IRR is the discount rate that sets a project's NPV to zero, while NPV expresses value creation in dollars. Imagine choosing between purchasing an $80,000 delivery van fleet or outsourcing logistics. If your WACC is 8%, the fleet yields cash inflows of $25,000 a year for 5 years, generating an IRR of about 10.3% and an NPV of roughly $15,000. Outsourcing saves $12,000 annually, but produces an IRR of 12.5% and an NPV of $9,000. Despite the higher IRR, outsourcing destroys value. The fleet purchase adds it. Sensitivity analysis at a 10% WACC still favors the fleet, highlighting the pitfalls of relying solely on IRR. Integrating finance into strategy means embedding these principles into hiring, inventory management, pricing, and expansion decisions. If hiring an employee doesn't beat your cost of capital, the move may destroy value. Excess inventory ties up cash that could earn a higher return elsewhere. Expansion plans should clear your hurdle rate, just as a Midwestern manufacturer did in 2022, when MPV analysis of phased equipment upgrades cut downtime 12% and boosted profitability. Real-world case studies reinforce these lessons. A microbrewery's 2023 IPO succeeded because managers calculated at 9%, discounted projected cash flows accordingly, and pursued only projects exceeding that hurdle. Conversely, a regional retailer that signed a 20-year lease without adjusting for its cost of capital later filed for Chapter 11, an avoidable outcome had management assessed present value implications beforehand. Debates persist. Surveys show 56% of CFOs prefer IRR for internal reports, yet NPV often provides clearer guidance when project scales differ. CAPM, though convenient, relies on historical betas and assumes market efficiency, conditions that don't always hold. Crowdfunding, meanwhile, can cost 9 to 11% of capital raised, sometimes matching or exceeding bank rates. Understanding these limitations equips you to choose the right tool for each situation. First and foremost, grasp that a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow. Recognize opportunity costs so scarce resources flow to their highest and best use. balance risk and return, and know your cost of capital so every project clears the hurdle. Use IRR and NPV together for fuller insight, and remain alert to evolving tools such as AI-driven cash flow forecasting. By mastering these concepts, you transform strategic planning, enhance decision-making, and secure the long-term financial health of your business. The journey may be challenging, but the rewards, clarity, confidence, and sustained growth are well worth the effort. Assistant, thank you for choosing Astory Publishing.